الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Can you hear me in the back? Do we need to use a mic? Can hear? Epidemic or endemic in our society is the abuse of illicit drugs and certain substances. This is sort of becoming an epidemic. Many of us know people that are struggling with it themselves, and certainly we know that it is a problem in society. And in fact, there's a lot of attention given to addiction psychology, addiction medicine, in that we see such a large number of people that are abusing substances. How is it that we can make them better? And this applies very broadly. Painkillers, alcohol is abused very widely, stimulants, and you can take heroin, for example. Heroin is administered intravenously, and its abuse has been on the rise, especially in the last two decades. For the last 15 years, some cities, some counties, some states have a 700% increase in the abuse of heroin. And every day it's said that about 40 people every single day in this country die from heroin overdose. 40 people every single day. Every day, 40 people in this country pass away from heroin overdose. Not even all opiates, just heroin itself. And there's many theories why that is. Why is it that the numbers are increasing? And one theory is that, well, the last 10 to 15 years, the DEA has really cracked down on prescription pain medication. And so since that's not widely available on the streets, people are resorting to more cheap options, which is heroin, which is probably the most deadly of all of the all of these sorts of options. And so, because it's cheaper and people feel like they need it, they'd rather not have to pay $90 a pill. They'd rather just inject themselves. So the rates of heroin are on the rise, and the rates of death related to heroin are on the rise. But in any case, when we're talking about addictions, especially when it comes to these sorts of addictions, but really any sort of addiction, whenever this sort of harm is present in society, there's really an effort that's put in place to circumvent that, to sort of get people out of it, right? It isn't that you just shun this entire population of people away and say you're on your own, but rather you try to address it and try to help them and improve their quality of life and potentially remove this addiction from their life. So for instance, with heroin being the example, there's kind of different tiers of detoxification. The first tier is that a person will just try cutting it out themselves on their own. You know, they're encouraged by friends, by family, they're encouraged by their physician, they're encouraged by people in the community that really you need to cut it out. So they make an effort, they try, and the vast majority of them will then end up failing. And then the next step is that they'll then join this medication assistance program, or medication assistance treatment. And so what happens there is that it's a series where you basically, it's an outpatient program where you come in, you'll get counseling, you'll get different, you'll get kind of first-line medications. So you might be started on something like naltrexone, or you'd be started on clonidine, something that kind of helps with the symptoms of withdrawal from heroin. Because when you're addicted to something, you begin to have withdrawal symptoms depending on what that substance is when you remove it. So to help, you basically give a medication for it. It's kind of a tier 1, tier 2 buprenorphine. And then if a person's struggling and they just can't get rid of this addiction, they put them in this program, It's an outpatient program, and then they'll give them methadone. And methadone is basically the way to try to remove this addiction from the person's life. So initially they try kind of cold turkey, or you just try removing it. Then the next tier is that you get enrolled in these outpatient programs, and you start off with a level 1 medication, then level 2, then level 3, and you have a lot of intervention, counseling, psychology, psychiatry gets involved. And then ultimately, when a person still fails, then they are encouraged to admit themselves to an inpatient detox unit. And the purpose of this detox unit is to help remove this addiction from their life. They tried the tier 1 treatment. They tried tier 2. It didn't work. They failed. They tried tier 3. They don't work. Now it's time for you to come, spend a week, spend 10 days with us, spend 2 weeks with us. You'll get some support. You'll get counseling. You're going to be in a controlled environment. There's going to be role models. There's going to be psychologists, people that can help you get through this addiction. But this is kind of your last hope. This is your last hope. They have this with certain drugs of abuse. This is present with alcohol, for instance. If someone really is struggling with alcohol and they try to remove this addiction from their life, they try step 1, they try step 2. Ultimately, what happens is that you get admitted into an alcohol inpatient unit, and you just from an inpatient standpoint, you then are detoxed. And usually it's the most extreme of cases that require this. Now, we often look at others when we're thinking about addiction. We say, well, these people are addicted to drugs. They're addicted to alcohol. They're addicted to cigarettes. It's very easy for us to look in a different direction. But if we were to look at ourselves, we could quite honestly say that we all have an addiction as well. We all have an addiction as well. Our addiction potentially is far worse than the addiction that these folks sometimes struggle with. That's because the ramifications of our addiction are not just that we destroy this life, but we then also destroy our hereafter. You and I, believers at large, we are addicted to the dunya. We have an addiction to this dunya. Despite hearing time and time again from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this world is just passing, that there's nothing actually here, there's nothing actually worth anything here, and that all of our attention, all of our focus, all of our energy should be on what is to come in the hereafter, despite knowing all of this, this is factual information, it's sitting in our minds, it's sitting in our brains, we've heard it, we've been told it, we've read about it. Despite all of this, we are all still addicted to this world. And these aren't just my words. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. But you give preference to the life of this world. And look at the way Allah says it. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. You all of you, you give preference to the life of this world. Isn't like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? And then he says, وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You do this knowing full well that the akhirah, the hereafter, is far better. It's better than anything that you will ever taste or experience in this world, and yet you still give preference. You still give preference to this present world. Not only is it better, خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى, it is everlasting. For just a few minutes of pleasure in this world, we're willing to give up years and millennia of pleasure in the hereafter. For just a few, you know, maybe hours of happiness in this world or comfort in this world, we're willing to give up our entire eternity in the hereafter. The only explanation for this is that we ourselves are addicted. We are addicted to this world. We love everything about this world, all the pleasures of this world, all the fruits of this world. We think that we are never going to leave this world. We could be fed with things of this world and we want the next thing, we want the next thing, we want the next thing. You know, we can spend hours and hours and hours researching a car. We can spend hours and hours and hours looking, you know, for our dream home. We can spend hours and hours and hours listening to music. We can spend hours and hours and hours, you know, on the internet. We can spend hours doing these things, and it won't faze us. But for us to spend hours reciting the Qur'an, or for us to spend hours praying toward Allah, for us to spend hours engaging in dhikr, for us to turn our attention toward Allah Ta'ala, we don't have the energy to do it. We don't have the courage to do it. We don't have it within us to do it. And the only explanation is that our hearts are diseased. Our hearts are diseased. And the disease is the love of this world. The disease is the love of this world. Look at your own life and reflect upon how committed you are to Allah. Reflect upon your own life and think about how committed you are to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hubbu ad-dunya," about the love of this world, "ra'su kulli khati'ah," that it is the head, it is at the head of every single evil. The reason that we struggle in our prayers, the reason that we struggle in consistency with reciting the Qur'an, the reason that we struggle in our relationship with our parents and with our spouses and with our children, the reason we struggle with our basics of deen is because the love of the world is filled in our hearts. We think we are going to be here forever. We don't realize that there is a hereafter to come. We don't realize that this world is just temporary. And it's just a few minutes. Just literally a few minutes. Just a few minutes. How many people in the last month or two have we heard that have passed away and moved on from this world? And they had the same hopes and aspirations and dreams that all of us had. They were 20 years old, they were 30 years old, they were 15, they were 40 years old, and they wanted a big home, and they wanted to have a nice car, and they've all just passed. And our time is going to come as well. And despite knowing this, we give preference to this world over the hereafter. Now, we have an addiction to this dunya. And we've all made an effort to try to remove this love from our hearts. And in the same way that a person would try to remove an addiction from heroin from their life, we too have tried similar steps, or at least it's been prescribed to us. First here is that we say to ourselves that, you know what, enough is enough. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be my goal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a mercy to remind me that this world is just passing and there's nothing here. I know all of this, so I'm going to cut out the dunya cold turkey. Or I'm going to cut out my love for the dunya cold turkey. I'm going to recite Qur'an. I'm going to become consistent in my prayers. I'm going to be respectful toward my parents and toward, you know, toward my children and toward my spouse. I'm going to give my wealth in charity, etc., etc. We try it, we make an effort, and then we fail. We still struggle with our salah. We still struggle with our Qur'an. We still struggle with our relationships. We still struggle in every single realm of our life. So then what happens? A person says, you know what? I really need to come back onto the deen. I really need to remove this love from my life. So what am I going to do? I'm going to actually join this outpatient program. I'm going to join the outpatient program. So what does that mean? I've been told that I need to come to the masjid more regularly. So I begin to come once a week, maybe twice a week. I come to the masjid, I take back something, I go home with it. Some people might say that, you know what, I need to do it more frequently. So they come three times a week, maybe once a day, maybe twice a day. Some people come three times a day because they feel in their heart that they're lacking in their connection with Allah. They feel this attachment to the dunya and this detachment from the hereafter. And they don't know what to do, so they say, you know what, I'm going to do this. So this is like the outpatient program, that I'm going to physically come, take something from the masjid, benefit from it, and I'm going to take it back home. I'm going to physically come in the company of someone of piety, someone of taqwa, someone of knowledge and ilm, I'm going to take it back with me, and I'm going to see how it goes. And then what happens? We fail again. We fail again. Look at our own lives. How many times have we made a commitment to Allah, and yet we failed? We made a commitment, and we failed. We made a commitment, and then we failed. So our tier 1 or our tier 2 levels of treatment to detox from this dunya, so far it's been relatively ineffective. Relatively ineffective. But the beauty is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never give up hope in us. That's the beauty of Allah. The rest of the world can give up hope in us. You know, if we were drug addicts, for instance, and we failed tier 1 and tier 2, the entire community would say, forget it, you're lost, there's no hope. There's no hope. No matter what you do, you're going to be addicted. You're going to be addicted. You might as well. You've already thrown your life away. Don't even turn to look toward me now. And yet when a believer tries the tier one, tries tier two, and still begins to struggle, and in any other circumstance or any other situation, the entire community would frown down upon that person and say, you're hopeless, you're lost, you've already ruined your life, you've already ruined your hereafter. Forget about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He has high hopes in us, because He wants what's best for us, because He desires goodness for us, He's given us another level of hope. Another opportunity. What is that opportunity? These last 10 days of Ramadan. What is i'tikaf? What is it really? We said in the earlier session that it means that a person stick, right? A'kafa ya'kufu. I'tikaf comes from i'takafa ya'takifu. To attach yourself to the masjid. And the legal or the technical definition is that a person remain within the four walls of the masjid for 10 days. But i'tikaf spiritually means that a person stick to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they knock and they knock and they knock until that door is opened up for them. That's what it is. That we realize that we have fail time and time again. Our relationship with Allah Ta'ala is weak. Our relationship with the masjid is weak. Our relationship with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is weak. Our relationship with our loved ones is weak. Our attachment to the dunya and this world is strong. I've tried, I've failed, I've tried, I've failed, I've tried, I've failed. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, don't worry about it. Come into my home for 10 days. Come into my home for 10 days. This is your inpatient detox unit from the dunya. And so we come with this intention that, Ya Allah, this is it. If I can't sort out my life now, then I'll never be able to sort it out. What other circumstance is it in which I can sort out my life? Look at the circumstance that Allah created to remove us from the dunya. He says, look, come into my home. Come into my home. There's no better place in the world than the homes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. That the best and most beloved places to Allah are the homes of Allah, or the masajid. So Allah ta'ala says, okay, this is the setup for this detox unit. You will never experience or encounter a better detox unit in your life. Come into, number one, my home. Welcome. You're in my home now. You're in my home. You're my guest. Number two, I'm locking up shaitan for you. That one being that would distract you and always encourage you toward the dunya and always discourage you from the hereafter. You know, that constant thought process, you know, this constant whisper that would come in our ear and say, don't go to the masjid, go here instead. Don't do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. Look at this. You know, our one distraction has been chained up and locked up. Then the third, the opportunity to benefit from Laylatul Qadr. Then the fourth, the opportunity to become freed from the fire of hell. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we're putting this whole circumstance together. And you are going to lock yourself in the masjid for 10 days to detox yourself from the dunya. That's our intention. When we commit ourselves to the house of Allah, what we're telling Allah is that, Ya Allah, enough is enough. Enough is enough. How much more can I take? How much more beating can my soul take? My heart is it's kind of in its final stages. I can't take it anymore. I'm supposed to be aligned with you, and yet I'm not. And I'm at a critical level, and this is my only option. Ya Allah, I am committing myself to your home until you accept me as your servant. Until you accept me as someone that you love. Until you accept me and accept my forgiveness. Until the glimpses of your mercy fall down upon me. I'm not leaving this home until that occurs. That's the intention of a person who's coming for i'tikaf. That's the intention of a person coming for i'tikaf. This is the circumstance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. Now, any person that enrolls in a detox program, any sort of program where you have to be admitted because of an illness that you have, one type of person will never succeed in that program. And that's the person that's always concerned with what's happening to everyone else in the group. And I've seen this myself. As part of a chronic pain program, we have patients that are suffering from chronic pain. It's a chronic illness. There's always one or two people in the group that always have an opinion about the person next to them. They always have something to share, something to say. Oh, you know what? This is how you'll get better. Oh, this is what will make you... This is how you will recover from your disease. They always have something to say. They're always looking at every other person. The last person they're actually interested in is himself. The last person they're interested in is himself. The person who benefits the most from these sorts of programs is that person that doesn't look to their left. They don't look to their right. They don't look in front or behind them. They look directly into their own heart and say that I am the most needy person in this gathering. I need to be detoxed from the dunya more than anyone else around me. I am the focus of this i'tikaf. I need to look, I need to reflect, I need to remove all of the mistakes that I've been making. I need to remove all of the sins that I've been committing. I need to sincerely turn back toward my Creator and toward my Lord in tawbah. The person who completely focuses on themselves succeeds. The person who's addicted to a drug, if they realize that this is their own weakness and they need to remove it from their life rather than figuring out why the person next to them is in the clinic and where what their background is and what suggestions they have for everyone else, and rather they turn to themselves and say that I am the one who's truly the sickest here. I'm the sickest. There may be 50 people in this group, but I am the sickest, least deserving person here. That is the person that will benefit tremendously from i'tikaf. So that's what i'tikaf is. It is an excuse, or is a circumstance, let's put it that way. It is a circumstance that we create for ourselves to attract Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. We come into the masjid. We try to engage in the Qur'an, in recitation of the Qur'an. We try to engage in extra salah, tarawih prayer, tahajjud prayer, extra nawafil. We try to maintain a state of wudu. We try to limit our speech. We try to engage in dhikr. We try to memorize the Qur'an. But why are we doing all of these things? Ultimately, do any of these deeds actually matter to Allah? Or are any of the salah that I'm performing going to elevate the status of Allah in any way, shape, or form? If I read an extra juz of Quran, is that going to elevate Allah in any way, shape, or form? If I am going to engage in the remembrance of Allah, is that going to elevate Allah Ta'ala? If all of us collectively, with all the brothers in this gathering, if we collectively were to come together and raise Allah's name tonight or tomorrow or for the next 10 days, would that elevate Allah's rank in any way, shape, or form? Absolutely not. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need a single one of these deeds. He doesn't need a single one of our salahs. He doesn't need a single verse of our Qur'anic recitation. He doesn't need a single dhikr from us. He doesn't need a single fast from us during these 10 days. So why is it that we're doing these things? Why? Because we're trying to create excuses for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to look down upon us and be happy with us. That's all it is. One moment of Allah Ta'ala's happiness, if He were to look at us, look at this gathering, look at me, look at you, for just a moment and be pleased with us, then we've succeeded. Then we've succeeded. And all of these encouraged acts that we've been mentioning, they don't raise Allah's greatness in any way. We are just doing this because we are doing whatever we can. We're throwing everything, every last bit of energy that we have in our last hope, essentially. We're throwing whatever we can toward Allah, saying, Ya Allah, please just look down upon me and be happy with me. Just accept me. Make me yours. I'm going to read for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fast for you. I'm going to do dhikr for you. I'm going to maintain a state of wudu for you. I'm locking myself into this home. Ya Allah, please, for just a moment, look down upon me with your mercy. That's the purpose of our deeds. That's the purpose of our i'tikaf. It doesn't raise Allah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. We are desperately, direly in need of Allah. And that's the nature of i'tikaf. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the intentions that we've all made. May Allah ta'ala allow us to remove the filth that we've accumulated within our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove our addiction of the dunya and make ourselves addicted to Him. Wa akhira da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.